So, I want to say a little more about this regret for the past. God allows failure for some very good reasons. Let me tell you that. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, which he prayed, Lord, remove it. And the Lord said, I won't remove it. It'll keep you humble. It was some type of physical infirmity. I personally believe it was some type of infection in his eyes, which never got cured. And it was repulsive because that pus was coming out of his eyes all the time. And he said, Lord, take it away. And it pleased the Lord not to take it away. He said, Paul, you're such a mighty servant of God, you're in danger of pride. So I have to give you something to humble you. This will humble you. When you get up to preach, people see all this dripping and they won't think so much of you. Good. You will become like Christ inwardly. What does it matter if there's some defect in your body? What does it matter if people despise your physical appearance? If you're becoming like Christ-like, isn't that enough, Paul? And he says, yes, Lord. And so he said, I will glory in my infirmities, he says in 2 Corinthians 12. You did not take away that thorn in the flesh. Thank you. There's another thorn in the flesh that God doesn't take away from us, from any of us. You know what it is? The memory of past failure. Haven't you thought sometimes, I wish God would remove from my memory all those incidents of failure in my life. Completely blotted out. There's no memory of the areas I failed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I have sometimes sought God like that. Lord, the things I've done from the time I was a little kid, I wish it were blotted out and the only things left in my memory were all the Christ-like good things I did. But God doesn't do that. He allows the memory of things that we did when we were 10 years old, 5 years old, the selfish, foolish things. I'm nearly 82, but my memory still can remember things, the stupid things I did when I was a little kid. And I'm sure it's true in your case too. I know what all human beings are like because I know what I'm like. And we wish it would be blotted out, Lord. And think of the much more serious sins that we committed. And especially the 1,000 times more serious sins which you committed after you were born again. And you wish, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. You've repented. Your repentance has been genuine. The blood of Christ has blotted it out completely and God has said about those sins in your case, I will not remember it anymore. I know that my past sins, God has said to me, I will not remember it anymore. Hebrews 8:12. So I have no sense of guilt, not even an atom of guilt in my heart, because the blood of Jesus has taken care of it all. But I've also wished that the memory of it would go. But it has pleased the Lord not to remove the memory of it. It's like a thorn in the flesh. Always, you know, the thorn's always poking you. It's a thorn in the flesh. The memory of those stupid, idiotic things that I did before I was born again and after I was born again. And no matter how much I pray, like Paul prayed, take it away, take it away. And the Lord says, no. And then Paul says, why? Because it'll keep you humble. And that's exactly why, my brother and sister, please listen. In love for you, God keeps that in your memory. So we cannot remove it. So how shall I forget what lies behind? This is the way I shall forget what I've done in the past. By saying, Lord, I'm not going to live in regret over that. I remember it, but I'm not going to torture myself with regret, 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 which will hinder my spiritual progress. So that's the way we have to forget the things that are behind. God has blotted it out in the blood of Jesus. What are the things that you look back in your past life that really disturb you, that really bother you, the things you did after you were converted and which you wish you had never done, you wish that some part of your life could be just blotted out? He's forgiven you, but the memory of that is there. It will remain there. Till Jesus comes, it'll remain there. I think in heaven it'll be blotted out. I believe it will be. You won't remember it in heaven. That part of our memory is going to be removed in heaven. It's going to be wiped out. But as long as you live on this earth, the memory of your failure will remain. First of all, to prevent you from doing it again. And secondly, to keep you humble. To make you more careful in similar situations that you don't do that again. But we must forget it in the sense that I must not whip myself and afflict myself, trying to punish myself. No, Christ has taken the punishment of it all. You don't have to afflict yourself for anything you did in the past. That is a heathen idea, that I beat myself. You know, the non-Christians, there are people who do that for their sin. They beat themselves and roll on the ground and do all types of things. There are Christians who mentally do that over their past failure. You can't take the punishment for your sin. It's no use whipping yourself. Christ took a whipping for you. He took it completely. He died for you. He was whipped and beaten, and you don't need to get a whipping now. Forget it. But it keeps you humble. And if you take it that way, I believe God can make you progress in your life. Finish with regret over the past. And say, let that regret spur you on. I sometimes tell young people, some of the truths I share with you of an overcoming life, I discovered when I was nearly 36 years old, 16 years after I became a Christian. I wish I had known it as soon as I became a Christian, when I was 20. But there was nobody around me in any church that told me the type of things I'm telling you these days. Nobody. In no church I attended. And I struggled along, failing, getting up, discouraged, everything else. And I sought God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, study His Word. I studied His Word in depth, and after 16 years, I finally, God opened my eyes to see the truth. So I tell young people, I say, you guys are 17, 18 years old, and you've already understood what I discovered when I was double your age. So strictly speaking, you should be able to make much greater progress in your life by the time you come to my age than I am today. Much greater progress in Christ-likeness and in usefulness to God and effectiveness in His service, much more than I have done, because you started earlier. You start when you're 15 or 16, but I started when I'm 36. I've got a handicap in running this race. And you can be way ahead of me, but I said, I doubt whether you will beat me in this race. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm so sorry for the foolish things I did that I'm running very fast today to make up for lost time. And I see some of you people, I say to younger people, you're not running so fast. You're taking it easy. Because you know these truths so easily. You never did all the foolish, stupid things that I did. You never, thankfully, because you were in a good church, you never did the foolish things that I did from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You never did the foolish things we all did. So you don't have any regret. I feel sorry. I'm not saying you should do those things. But why can't you run and say, Lord Jesus, I want to know more about how much you suffered to take away my sin. That's what you need to. I'm not saying you have to do the same things, foolish things we did. No parent will want, all of you parents, do you want your children to do the stupid, foolish things you did when you were young? No. None of us want our children to do the foolish things we did when we were young. But we do want them to be passionate in following the Lord. And I pray that'll be true. Don't let regret over the past hold you back. You know, there must be like a curtain that drops right behind me as I move forward. And I look back and I see a curtain. I can't think of anything that happened at the back. I can't see what I accomplished. I can't see what foolish things I did. It's all, I can't see it. Forgetting. the things that are behind. Forgetting what I've done for the Lord. Completely forgetting. Completely forgetting all the foolish things I've done. I say, Lord, I'm only going to look in front. No man wins a 100-meter race looking back to see how far he's covered or how much better he is than others. Such people will always lose. A person who's going to win a race is always going to look in front for the finishing line. And I want to encourage you. Basically, that's what I want to say. Dear brothers and sisters, please look at the finishing line alone. Don't look back to see how much ground you've covered. It's not important. Don't look back and see the places where you tripped up. Forget it. And certainly don't look around to see how many people you're overtaking. That'll also make you lose the race. Say, Lord, I've got one goal. That's the finishing line, is to become like Christ completely. So I want to put a curtain right behind me. I'm going to have zero looking back and regret. My past failures serves to humble me. Why did God allow Peter to deny him 3 times? I don't have time to show you this, but you read the gospel sometimes. John, you know, Jesus was in the high court being tried before the high priest, which was the high court of those days. John, the apostle, was a relative of the high priest, so he could go in through the gate, related to the high priest. Peter came there, and the gate fellow said, "Who are you?" And John came and spoke to the gatekeeper and got Peter inside. One single event which made Peter deny the Lord. John did a good turn for him. He wanted to come inside to see the trial. And that's where 3 people came and asked him, "Hey, you're with Jesus." And he denied him 3 times. I thought sometimes Peter must have thought, "Oh, I wish John hadn't come and spoken to the gatekeeper and got me inside. I wouldn't have denied the Lord." I would have felt like that. Why did God allow it? Why did God allow John to know at that time that Peter's trying to come in? Do you have regrets like that? That something somebody did, or the moment that, if that hadn't happened, I would not have fallen like this. Yeah, we all have incidents like that. God permitted it. He permitted it with Peter. He permitted it with you. Because He wanted you to be humbled for the rest of your life, so that He can make you a useful servant in His kingdom. And so, about, 43 days after that, on the day of Pentecost, it was 53 days, right, after that, on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God comes upon Peter and fills him and becomes a mighty anointed person, and he preaches that powerful message, and 3,000 Jews are converted. I mean, if you were to convert one Jew in your life, you'd never forget it in your life. See, boy, I brought one Jew to the Lord. It's not easy to convert a Jew. It's like trying to convert a Muslim. 3,000 of them converted in a 15-minute sermon. Can you imagine the danger Peter had of getting puffed up and people come and slap him on the back and say, "Hey, Peter, that was great, man." He could not be puffed up. He'll say, "You know what I did 7 weeks ago?" It humbled him permanently. All his life he remembered himself as a man who denied the Lord in the moment of testing. Could he forget it? In one sense, he could never forget it. But it did not bring such regret in his life that he stopped serving the Lord. No. Okay, I did it. 25 years later, he'd say, "Yeah, I'm the man. I'm the man who denied the Lord 3 times. I'll never forget it all my life. It has humbled me permanently." So my brothers and sisters, when you forget the things that are behind, let those failures humble you permanently. But don't live in regret over it, that it hinders you from further progress. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward the mark. Don't live in regret over anything in the past. Is there something that you did that made, okay, let's forget these spiritual things. Sometimes you can have regret over decisions that you made which made you lose a lot of money. Money is a very important thing in this world. And perhaps you took some decision which made you lose a lot of money, some job opportunity which you gave up, which would have made you a millionaire today. But you're struggling. You have regret over it? Say, Lord, you allowed it. Maybe if I had got it, maybe I would have drifted away from you. Maybe those $1 million would have taken me away from you. Thank God you did not allow me to get it. Don't sit in regret over money that is lost by your foolishness or by wrong choices. There are many things like this. We look back and say, boy, if I hadn't done that at that point, I came to the fork in the road and I took the wrong turning. That's why I'm here today. I could have been there. Some of my friends are out there and I was with them and I'm over here struggling. But those guys are not following the Lord. You are. Thank God. So remember that God allows failure to humble you, but you must not live in regret over it, forgetting the things that are behind. One day, when we stand before the Lord, you will see that God permitted you to take the wrong decision. Yeah, I think of incidents in my life where God permitted me to take a wrong decision or something that made me suffer some type of loss, earthly loss, not spiritual loss. And I say, thank you, Lord. I will never shed tears over earthly loss. Never. I'm not going to sit and weep or feel sorrowful about any earthly loss. Lord, I want to have sorrow only over spiritual loss that I've suffered in my life. Make that decision today. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us each one. We are so quick to forget important things. I pray that no one here will forget what they heard today. And it will change their life permanently, not just for a few days, but they will remember it 20 years from now if you haven't come. Help us all, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.